Today we continue with lesson number 20 on Maseches Bikurim, Mishnayos Maseches Bikurim, which will be our final lesson of Mishnayos Bikurim. We only have one Mishnah to complete the Masechta, and then we will begin our study of the next Masechta of Mishnayos, which is a whole new Seder of Mishnayos, Seder Moed, and Maseches Shabbos. But first, the final Mishnah of Maseches Bikurim, Perek Dalet Mishnah Hei. We've been studying about the status, the halachic status of an androgynous, a person who has the simonim, has the indexes on his body of both a male and a female. In certain respects, he's adjudged to be a male, as we learned. In certain respects, a female. In certain respects, he's no different from any other male or female. However, this Mishnah tells us that there are ways in which an androgynous is neither like a male nor like a female. Ketzad eino shove lo lo anoshim lo lo anoshim. What are some of the ways in which he is neither like a male nor like a female? Ein sorfin trumo al tumas zivoso. If there flows from him either a white fluid, either a white fluid in which he might be a zov, or a red fluid in which he might be a nida or a zava, and he touches truma, is not clear whether that truma is tameh or not, and therefore you cannot burn the truma. Normally, truma tameya is burnt. Truma, which is a sofek, a doubt whether it's tameh or tohor, tameh or tohoro, cannot be burnt. You cannot destroy sofek truma, which is sofek tameya. And this person, is his white fluids, his red fluids, are sfekos. However, suppose he comes forth from him a white flow and a red flow, a white flow from his male organ, a red flow from his female organ, then you know, well, either he's male or he's female, one way or the other, tome. V'ein chayov enolov al bias mikdosh. If this zov, this androgynous, there flowed from him both white fluid and red fluid, and he went into the mikdosh. He's not chayev. Even though you might think, well, look, either he's a male or he's a female, one way or the other, he exuded white fluid and red fluid, so he should be tomei mimonafshoch. No, because the posuk says, mizochor ad nekevo tishalech, specifying that only a male who is clearly and definitely a male, or a female who's clearly and definitely a female, cannot enter the Beis HaMikdosh under conditions of tumah. However, in the case of this androgynous, who was a sofek zohar, sofek nikevo, then he, if he enters the Beis HaMikdosh, he's not obligated the various punishments for that. V'ein nimkar, so in that respect, ein chayov na bias mikdosh lo kohanoshim v'lo kohanoshim. V'ein nimkar be'evet ivri lo kohanoshim v'lo kohanoshim. The halacha is that if a male is guilty of theft and has no money, doesn't have the wherewithal to pay, to compensate the victim of the theft, then he sells himself into slavery. He becomes an evet ivri. Only of a male is that true, not of a female. The pasuk says, Nimkar b'gnevo so, and the Gemara Darshan is b'gnevo so, v'lo b'gnevo so. A woman who steals and is broke, can't pay back the theft, cannot be forced into slavery to pay her debts. V'lo loka anoshim, v'lo kanoshim. Now, however, a woman, young child, can be sold into slavery by her father. But a man, a male, a son, cannot be sold into slavery by his father. And an androgynous can also not be sold into slavery, because if he's a male, he can't be sold by his father. If he's a female, he can't be sold for his theft. Ve'eino ne'erach lo ko'anoshim v'lo ko'anoshim. We know there's a mitzvah in the Torah of Erchin, And the Erechin is a setup whereby which if a person commits himself to pay his Erech, his estimated value, the Torah gives us a scale of those values, a certain amount if you're a certain age, a certain amount if you're a female, a certain amount if you're male. When it comes to Erechin, we cannot assess him at either as a male or as a female. The Torah speaks of Zohar and Nekeva, definite males, definite females, because he is indeterminate, indefinite, Safek. There's no halach of Erechin that can apply to him. Now, until now, we've been working under the assumption that the androgynous is his status is in doubt. He might be this, he might be that, he might be male, he might be female. Rabbi Yossi Omer androgynous brio bifnei atzmohu. Rabbi Yossi said an androgynous is a third category. Now, there are various opinions of what this means. The Rash, Rabbeinu Shimshon, one of the commentaries on the Mishnah, says that there are three that Rabbi Yossi believes there are three possibilities with an androgynous. Either he's a questionable male, or he's a questionable female, or he's some third gender altogether. In this understanding, Rabbi Yossi disagrees with the Tanakhama. Tanakhama says, look, he's either this or he's that. There's no third gender. However, the Rash understands Rabbi Yossi to mean, no, there is a third gender. However, there are other approaches to understanding Rabbi Yossi. And Tosfos in several places in Maseches, in the Shas, one being Maseches Yevamos Daf Pei Gimel, says that Rabbi Yossi is not arguing with the Tanakhama at all. Rabbi Yossi simply is explaining the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yossi is saying the androgynous is some type of a new creature, some bria b'fnei atzmo, meaning not that he's really a new creature, a third gender, but rather he is a creature who is in doubt. We have definite males, we have definite females, and we have people who are in doubt. Maybe they're male, maybe they're female. As the Mishnah then continues, which makes good sense according to this approach, not that he's a third gender mamish, as the Rash would have it, but rather he's a third gender in that we cannot decide whether he's A or B, and therefore we have to treat him halachically in a certain respect. This is all with reference to this androgynous, this androgynous person. There's another type of freakish birth, and that is the birth of someone who's a tumtum. A tumtum is a person who has a covering of flesh which covers over his or her genital area. And therefore, we cannot determine whether this tumtum is male or female. However, if surgery were possible, and I assume nowadays it is very possible, surgery could be done, that overlay can be removed, and we would know for sure male or female. But until that surgery is done, his status is indeterminate. And that's how the Mishnah concludes. Avol tumtum einochein, po'amim shehu ish, po'amim shehu isha. In other words, a tumtum is one or the other. It's not doubtful, is he this or is he that? He is one or the other. We just don't know what he is. He's a zohar vaday or is in the cave of vadois. And conceivably, it's possible to determine and to clarify what he is through some type of a surgery, removing this timtum, removing this blockage, and allowing us to determine what he is and to judge him halachically accordingly. Hadron Naloch Seder Zroim. We have now finished both Maseches Bikurim, and we have finished Seder Zroim, and we have finished lesson number 20.
Let us begin learning the first Mishnah in Maseches Shabbos. The Mishnah begins by telling us, Yitzios HaShabbos Shtaim Shin Arba Bifnim U'Shtaim Shin Arba Bachutz. The Mishnah begins by telling us that there are two ways where a person can transgress the Isser of Hotza'ah on Shabbos. Yisur Doraisa Hotza on Shabbos. We all know that Hotza is the 39th Malacha, the 39th creative act, which is biblically prohibited, which is Asur Doraisa, the 39th of the 39 Avos Malachos. And one transgresses this Malacha when one carries an item from a public domain to a private domain, or from a private domain to a public domain. Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid, or Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim. Throughout the Masechta, we will continue with the various details in the Isser of Hatzah. But for now, the Mishnah starts off by just telling us there are two ways one to transgress this Isser by standing inside, by standing in Rishus HaYachid. The other two ways one could be over on this Isser Midrabanan, rabbinical prohibition. And there are two ways where a person can biblically violate Hotza'a by standing outside, and there are two other ways a person can transgress this Isser Midrabanan. In order to transgress this Isser Midoraisa, one person must do what is called Akira and Hanacha. One person must uproot the item from one domain and place it in the other domain. Ketzar, continues the Mishnah, how is it possible for one to violate the Isser Doraisa of Hotza'a? For example, Ha'ani Omed Bachutz, the Ani is standing outside, Balabais Bifnim. We know that is usually the standard way things are. The poor individual is outside, the homeowner is inside. Pashat Ha'ani is Yadol Lifnim. The poor individual reaches his hand inside the private domain. And he places the item that he has in the public domain, he places it into the hands of the homeowner who is standing in the private domain. From Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid. Or a poor individual reaches inside into the private domain, and he brings it v'hotzi, and he brings it outside into the Rishus HaRabim. Ha'ani chayav uval habayis patur. In both these cases, the ani, who is active in lifting the item from one domain and placing it in the other domain, is chayav. He's chayav skila. He's transgressed one of the 39 malachos, for which one is chayav misa, the death penalty for. And bal habayis, who's completely passive in this case, is patur, is completely exempt. Now, from the perspective of the Baal HaBayis, who is standing inside, Pashat Baal HaBayis is Yado Lachutz. The Baal HaBayis, who then reaches out into the public domain, V'nasan L'soch Yado Shalani. He takes the item that he has in the private domain, and he places it into the hands of the Ani, Rishus Yachid to Rishus HaRabim, or Shenato Mitocha V'yachnis, or he removes it from the hands of the Ani, and he brings it inside. He takes the item from Rishus HaRabim, public, to Yachid, to private. In this case, in both these two cases, Baal HaBayis is Chayav, Baal HaBayis is Chayav, Ani Pator, and the Ani is in fact Pator, for he is exempt. The reason perhaps why the Mishnah tells us about an Ani and Baal HaBayis perhaps explains the Bar Tanura. We might think that we might be involved in the laws of Tztaka, we might be involved in a mitzvah, nonetheless, says the Bar Tanura, when a person, even if doing a mitzvah, even if a person is performing a mitzvah, mitzvah baba avera, a mitzvah, however, that was entangled with an avera, is an asur, is, in fact, forbidden, and one is chayav. That's one of the reasons why the Mishnah uses the case of an ani and a baal habayis. Also, it's common to exchange items between an ani and a baal habayis from two different domains. Second half of the Mishnah is as follows. Pashat ha'ani es yado lifnim. The poor individual reaches his hand inside. V'nata baal habayis mitocha. And while his hand is inside baal habayis' home, the baal habayis removes the item from the poor man's hand. Or shenasam lesocha v'hotzi. Well, the other case is the Baal HaBayis takes the item, places it into the hand of the poor man. This hand, of course, is in Rishus HaYachid, V'hotzi. And the poor individual brings back the item to Rishus HaRabim. In these two cases, Shenehem Peturim. In both of these cases, both of these individuals, the Baal HaBayis, are Pater. Why is that? Because both of them only did one of the two portions of the Isser of Hotzah. Either they just did Akira, they just uprooted the item, or they just did Hanacha. or either one of them just place the item into the other domain. Without doing both, it is only asur mi derabanan. It is only rabbinically prohibited and not asur deraisa. Still forbidden to do on Shabbos. But there's no isur deraisa. One would not bring a korban. One would not be chayav skila. One, of course, would bring a korban if one performs an isur on Shabbos b'shogeg unintentionally. Again, the details of which we'll discuss later on in the Masechta. Concludes the Mishnah. Pashat bal habayis es yado lachutz. The homeowner reaches his hand outside. V'natal ha'ani mitocha. And the ani removes the item from his hand. Or she'nasan le'socha v'hichnis. Or the habayis places his hand in the public domain. The ani puts the item in his hand v'hichnis, and he brings it into Rishus Yachid. Shnehem paturim. Once again, both are patur because neither of them did the complete iser of akira and hanacha.